This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by one of the great all-time leaders in healthcare, Quint Studer. Quint's the founder of the Studer Group. He's also the owner of a minor league baseball team. He's a regularly sought-after speaker and columnist. He's recently written a new book called The Busy Manager's Handbook. He's an extraordinary individual. Quint, let me take a moment to ask you to introduce yourself, and then I'm going to ask you a number of questions about the book, about best advice for managers, and more. Quint?
Sure. Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you for allowing me to be on. Yeah, many people know I've spent a lifetime in healthcare. It's my life's work. And in 2016, when I left Huron and Studer Group, I'd also formed a Studer Community Institute, which was a not-for-profit that worked with small businesses and a number of different companies. And then I've written a new book, and Wiley's publishing it, called The Busy Leader Handbook. And it really focuses on that middle manager who I think has the toughest job no matter what business you're in.
And why is that the toughest job, that of the middle manager versus the sort of senior leader or the staffer that's in the line doing all kinds of stuff, doing everything, producing like crazy? Why is the middle manager the toughest job?
Well, a couple things. Number one, they normally have a pretty large span of control. So where a CEO might have, or an owner of a small business might have a few direct reports, the middle manager usually has the largest span of control. Depending on businesses such as retail and healthcare, it's sometimes a 24/7, a 365 job. They normally don't have management training or leadership training. They were a really good employee who then one day their boss quit, or they had an opening and the boss said, hey, I'd love to have you be a manager or supervisor. And with great intentions, they said, yes, I'd like to be helpful, but they didn't realize what a rough job it is, and they didn't get any real training. One of the things I do, Scott, when I work with businesses, I have them put down how many people work at a company. Then I put down how many people report to the senior leadership team. And I point out that 85 to 90% of the employees don't report to the senior leadership team. They report to somebody in the middle. So whoever has the best middle management team is going to be the best, really the best company.
Quint, you had mentioned in your last comment this issue of span. And this is a big issue. You also mentioned that 90% of all employees, one way or another, or something like that, are managed by middle managers, not senior managers. This concept of span, what I've seen different data, 5 to 8, you've seen different data that shows a higher number of people in terms of direct reports. How do you look at the number of direct reports that a middle manager could manage well and really be impactful with those employees and team of leaders that he or she works with?
Yeah, and I think what you find, I find in healthcare, we actually have a larger span of controls than since I've been out of healthcare, working in non-healthcare world, the span of controls are basically smaller. And I think the reason healthcare span of controls can appear bigger is certainly normally in the nursing arena. Years ago, did a study of span of control, you know, how many employees do you supervise? And we found in healthcare, it was somewhere in the mid-20s, 22, 23, 24. And I think that's, again, because these nursing units. But I think when you look at the proper span of control, you have to not just say it's a number. It also depends on the turnover and the experience. So, for example, if you have a very experienced team and low turnover, your span of control can be much longer, much wider. If you have a lot of turnover and what I would call less experience, your span of control probably needs to be slimmer. I think one of the challenges and the mistakes I made when I worked as the president of a hospital is not understanding that in the med-surg unit. No, the med-surg nurse manager usually has one of the largest span of control. They get all the new hires, Scott. And then when they get the person trained, many of them then go to the ICU or the cardiovascular unit or the ER and so on. And I think if I went back and was president of a hospital again, I would really look at that med-surg and say, should we have a manager also on weekends? Because that's when the new nurses are. Should we have one at night? So I think there's no finite number, but it really comes down to the experience of your staff and turnover. The joke I used to say to CEOs, and I still do it even outside of healthcare, but I said, if you're ever depressed about your job, just go pretend you're a middle manager in your organization. And in about 20 minutes, you'll come back and feel a lot better about your own job. because those middle managers have a much tougher job than many of us in the senior levels.
Well, and your point is well taken. I mean, a typical CEO of a small or large system is typically dealing with 6 to 10 senior officers. And your point is a nurse manager is, and those 6 to 10 senior managers are deeply experienced, often long-term employees. And in contrast, the nurse manager is dealing with 25 direct reports, of which there's constant turnover. They're often not as well paid as they should be. They're new people often. And so it's a constant juggling act to keep everything staffed, all the shifts going well, and everybody doing what they're supposed to do. So your point is really well taken and fascinating. I'm going to ask you a different question. Quint, your best advice for middle managers or for managers, what's some of your best advice?
Scott, I think when you look at how to manage, I wrote this whole book for middle managers, and it's not because I don't think senior executives are not training middle managers. What I find is you can train a middle manager, and I love it, and they'll every 90 days love what you're training them. But they're so busy, they're just-in-time learners. So while they'll be aware of what you're teaching them, they really won't need it and use it until they really need it. So my book is 41 best practices. So when I have that situation, I can go to that resource guide. So my first chapter hits that question right there. The number one thing that you want in a middle manager is self-awareness. So you have to create systems where they really can get measured themselves, get feedback from their boss. So there's tools on how to help the manager create their own development plan. And then you have to make sure they're coachable. And I think if a middle manager is both self-aware and coachable, that's the foundation for their success. And that's why I think every senior leader needs to put the title Chief Development Officer on part of their title. Because if they develop that middle manager, the organization will be more consistent and more sustainable. And that's really what every executive team wants, consistency and sustainability.
The goal of this middle manager, it can be so tough because sometimes they're trying to be the company person and just do things in a top-down way from what leadership has told them to do. Other times they have to act, but if they do that too much, there are people that they work with or report to them, hate them. What's the balance of sort of how does a middle manager act constantly with a principledness that retains the trust and loyalty of their staff and team?
Well, first, I think you have to make sure they work for a principal and trustworthy senior leadership team. Because for a middle manager to be able to explain things correctly to their employees, the senior leadership team has to be extremely transparent and open to messaging. Because I don't think the middle manager wants to position the senior leadership team or the organization poorly, but they need to understand. And I do think senior leaders in healthcare do everything they can to make the right decision. But it's usually not the decision that gets us in trouble. It's the communication. So you've got to meet with your middle management team, be totally transparent, and help them understand why you're making the decision so they can explain it properly. But the other thing is to really realize that the skills that the middle manager needs are many times different than the skills that got them the job. So you've got to put in the training, and that's why I wrote the book. I wrote the book as an inexpensive way for middle managers to feel less anxious, more confidence in their own leadership ability, because you really want to make sure that you're in a right organization where you don't want to spin anything. You just want to give the objective facts and so on. And last point is I've always been bothered when people call people skills soft skills. And I think years ago, somebody didn't want to do the people thing, so they just said those are soft skills. I think it's ironic the things we call soft skills are the absolutely hardest skills, and that's developing trustworthy, authentic relationships.
Do you think there's this issue that you raised, which you just said, which I think is one of the most important things ever, is that people get promoted that were great at their line job, whatever that job is, because they were so good at it, they get promoted to manager. There's this old concept called the Peter Principle that everybody gets promoted to the level at which they're incompetent. And I think your point is to avoid that, is that you have to recognize it's different skills at the junior level than at the manager level or at the line level. It's not necessarily junior, but the line level versus the manager level. And at the manager level, you have to be trained for that, to do that right. Is that sort of the point that you're making?
That's the point of the book, too. You know, and I say I was on the curriculum at the Harvard Business School for a while, and basically there's different skills that a senior leader needs and a middle manager needs. And so I really tried to focus in on those middle manager skills that they had. But we can't assume they have them. You know, I always ask people, you know, when you take your supervisor job, your first one, and many times we have to call it interim to talk people into doing it, I ask them, how much training do you get? And I think we misunderstand that people can naturally learn this. About 34% of people, Scott, literally, if you promote them, they'll go out, they'll get the training, they're naturals. But that means about 56% of the people aren't naturals. So you have to really make sure they have that development technique. And again, that's why the book is there. The book, I had Mark Faulkner from Baptist Healthcare said, Quinn, I want to order 400 books for my entire team, but I really want to make sure I've read your stuff. I think it's going to be great. But let me read it first to make sure it aligns with what I would like. Well, you know, even though I wrote the book, I reread it again, and I met with Mark this week, and it does. If I'm a CEO, if my little managers can put in these 41 best practices when they need them, my life is better. But even more importantly, that middle manager's life is better because I owe them because they're taking a tough job of investing in them through training, through books, because I think middle managers live with a lot of anxiety. And if I can lower that anxiety, I create a better quality of life for them.
That's fantastic, Quint. I know you had magnificent success in sort of training large organizations through the Studer Group. You've had magnificent success in the not-for-profit community area and helping cities and companies do this. And now you're doing it again in terms of the busy middle manager and trying to make sure you've got best practices. So congratulations. But one final question. Quint, where can people find your new book?
They can get it at Amazon, of course. Now, if they have a bulk order, which we're finding, and gratefully, people are ordering it in bulk orders because they'd like all their middle managers to have it, they can go to busyleaderhandbook.com. So either Amazon or busyleaderhandbook.com.
That's fantastic. I know that we ordered several this week for our team. We appreciate you so much doing the work that you do. You're an inspiration to all of us. You're certainly an inspiration to me. So, Quint, we are so thankful to have you on again. You're the best. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And I want to tell you, even though I'm not as involved in healthcare as I used to be, I get so much great information from Beckers. In fact, I still write a lot of congratulation notes for these people that get these tough leadership jobs in healthcare. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much.